Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, December the 28th, 2019. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have given us another day that we can come into your presence and learn. We're grateful for all that you show us from day to day, and we are asking that you would give us the strength necessary so that we might be prepared for the time to come. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Today I'd like to share an article with you from the Financial Times. And it's been published back on August the 9th in the year 2017. That's August the 9th, 2017. The letter, the article was written by Brian Harris, Ian Bott, Jane Pong, and Lauren Leatherby. Let me give you those names again. That's Brian Harris, Ian Bott, B-O-T-T, Jane Pong, P-O-N-G, and Lauren Leatherby. The title of the article is North Korea, a Rising Threat. The title again, North Korea, a Rising Threat. Now there's a subtext to that topic which says, Pyongyang's development of missiles and nuclear weapons raises tensions with Washington. Now of course, since the inauguration of the new president, there have been moves made to come together with North Korea, and much time has been spent, many pictures have been made, many trips have been made, but it seems as if things are not heading in the direction that the president would like them to head. And so I thought I would go back and take a look at an old article, which would give us a sort of a picture as to exactly what North Korea and her military development is all about. So the title today is North Korea, a Rising Threat. Now remember, the article was published August the 9th, 2017. Here's the article. Since inheriting power in late 2011, Kim Jong-un has dramatically increased the speed and scope of North Korea's development of nuclear weapons and the ballistic missiles to carry them. In 2016, his regime drew international condemnation by testing two nuclear devices and more than 20 ballistic missiles. The saber rattling has continued in 2017, with Pyongyang increasing the pace of ballistic missiles tests and unveiling new advanced weapons. On July the 4th, it reached a milestone by launching its first intercontinental ballistic missile. For the international community, particularly the U.S., there is growing concern that Mr. Kim will soon master the technology to equip an ICBM with a nuclear warhead, a development that could imperil large swaths of the U.S. mainland. For North Korea's totalitarian regime, which is focused predominantly on its own survival, the tests represent a core part of its line, a policy with the twin aims of developing nuclear weapons and improving the nation's economy. Assembling a vital nuclear deterrent would project Pyongyang and protect it from outside threats by raising the cost of conflict. While many tests, particularly those of short-range missiles, can be viewed as military chest thumping, the emergency of new longer-range missiles and the increased frequency of launches show North Korea's technical capabilities are rapidly improving. In North Korea, May this year tested the Hamsung 12, a new weapon it claimed was capable of carrying a large-size heavy nuclear warhead as far as the U.S. Analysts have declared the missile operational, and although its range, estimated at about 4,500 kilometers, would not threaten the U.S. mainland, the weapon would reach U.S. territory in the Pacific. In early August, Pyongyang said it was considering using the weapon to strike Guam after U.S. President Donald Trump stepped up his rhetoric against the regime. Tensions with the U.S. have increased dramatically since July, after two tests of North Korea's first ICBM, the Hwasong-14. However, North Korea's claim should be treated with caution, and the regime has itself created strategic ambiguity by launching both new long-range missiles at an almost vertical trajectory. In the second test, the Hwasong-14 hit an altitude of more than 3,700 kilometers and landed about 1,000 kilometers from where it was launched. On a normal trajectory, analysts believe it would have the range to reach much of the continental U.S. Also in North Korea's arsenal is the older Tapakdong-2, a long-range rocket, though thought to have had a similar range to the Hwasong-14. However, it has so far only been used to launch satellites into orbit, and there is no consensus on whether it is capable of delivering a nuclear device or a significant payload. The military is also believed to be developing another long-range missile, the KN-08, which has appeared only in parades. Another significant development for the country's missile program is the medium-range KN-15, which was successfully tested for the first time early in 2017. Despite a limited range of about 2,000 kilometers, the missile employs a solid fuel engine. Such missiles can be fired with little warning and require fewer support vehicles, according to Jeffrey Lewis of the James Martin Center of Non-Proliferation Studies. The launch of the Hwasong-14 suggests the country's technologies are developing rapidly. However, many experts believe it will still take years before North Korea can successfully deploy an arsenal of conflict-ready long-range missiles. The other side of the North Korean threat is its nuclear program, which ultimately aims to produce a bomb that can be mounted on its missiles. In 2016, the regime detonated two nuclear devices, its fourth and fifth tests, leading to further international ostracism. Experts have poured doubt on Pyongyang's boast that the first of these utilized a hydrogen bomb. The device's estimated yield was 7 to 10 kilotons of TNT. The second test was significantly more powerful, with an estimated yield of 10 to 30 kilotons. By comparison, the U.S. nuclear attack on Hiroshima in 1945, which killed up to 150,000 people, exploded with an energy of 15 kilotons, 1 kiloton equaling 1,000 tons of TNT. But as important as the increasing yields in the regime's ability to miniaturize the devices sufficiently for its missiles to carry them is, it is important to note that they have been consistently working on this project and seem not to be planning to stop. Pyongyang has claimed it has already reached this milestone, but there is no consensus about experts in the U.S. and its allies. However, a report in Washington Post in early August cited U.S. intelligence officials suggesting that North Korea has cracked one of the final technological challenges in nuclear missile design and produced a scaled-down warhead. Now, I thought I would go back and read that article because it gives you an understanding of where we are today and why there has been such an effort on the part of this administration to reach out to Kim Jong-un. That article, as I said before, was published on August the 9th, 2017. The title of that article is North Korea, a Rising Threat. North Korea, a Rising Threat. All right, let's come forward a little bit and take a look in the Washington Post, an article published on December the 3rd, 2019. Let me give you the date again, December the 3rd, 2019. In the Washington Post, an article written by Simon Denyer, the last name is spelled D-E-N-Y-E-R, and the title of that article is North Korea Warns the United States of an Unwelcome Christmas Gift. The title again, North Korea Warns the United States of an Unwelcome Christmas Gift. Here's that article. North Korea said Tuesday that dialogue with the United States has been nothing but a foolish trick and warned Washington that it could be on the receiving end of an unwelcome Christmas gift. The North Korean regime has given the United States until the end of the year to drop its hostile policy. come up with a new approach to talks and offer concessions in return for its decision to end nuclear and intercontinental ballistic missiles tests in 2018. Despite the tensions between the two countries, President Trump sounded an almost affectionate note about Kim Jong-un in London on Tuesday, expressing his confidence that North Korea would still denuclearize. But he also noted that the North Korean leader likes sending rockets up, doesn't he? "That's why I call him Rocket Man," Trump said. Trump added that military action remains an option. "Hopefully, we do not have to use it," he said during remarks about North Korea. "But if we do, we will use it. If we have to, we will use it." Good personnel relationships between the two leaders, joint air drills with South Korea, however, have clearly not been enough for Kim Jong-un and Pyongyang. Ri Thae-sung, vice foreign minister in charge of U.S. affairs, accused Washington of trying to buy time by calling for a sustained and substantial dialogue, an approach he rejected. The dialogue touted by the U.S. is, in essence, nothing but a foolish trick hatched up to keep the DPRK bound to dialogue and use it in favor of the political situation and election in the U.S., he said. The DPRK, which is another name for North Korea, has heard more than enough dialogue rhetoric raised by the U.S. whenever it is driven into a tight corner, he said. So no one will lend an ear to the U.S. any longer. Ri then added, again reminded the U.S. of the fast approaching deadline, effectively repeating a veiled threat to resume long-range missile tests. The DPRK has done its utmost with maximum perseverance not to be backtracked from the important steps it has taken on its own initiative, he said, in a statement carried by the North state-run Korean Central News Agency. What is left to be done now is the U.S.'s option, and it is entirely up to the U.S. what Christmas gift it will select to get. North Korea has a history of timing launches with an eye on international developments and even U.S. holidays. Last week, North Korea chose Thanksgiving Day to launch two projectiles from what it calls a super-large multiple rocket launcher, marking the 14th test of short-range rockets or missiles it has undertaken this year. On July the 4th, 2017, North Korea conducted its first test of an ICBM, the Hansong 14, with leader Kim Jong-un describing it as a gift package for the Americans on their Independence Day. North Korea has also dialed up the military threats in recent months, suggesting it may soon launch a ballistic missile in the direction of Japan. When Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe said last week's launch was a threat to the region and the world, and described the projectiles as ballistic missiles, North Korea responded by calling him the worst idiot in the world and the stupidest man in history. Abe may see what a real ballistic missile is in the not-distant future, and under his own nose, said they from North Korea. Abe is none other than a perfect imbecile and a political dwarf. Now that's how North Korea responded. So that second article we read is found in the Washington Post, published December the 3rd, 2019. And the title of that article is North Korea Warns the United States of an Unwelcome Christmas Gift. Now notice the rhetoric that flows between these two nations. It's very, very insulting and very, very direct in everything that they do. All right, we will take a look at one final article today, and this is found in the New York Times. And this one was recently published, December the 21st, 2019. That's December the 21st, 2019. In the New York Times, the writers of the article, David Sanger, Edward Wong, and Michael Crowley. The title of the article, U.S. braces for major North Korean weapon test as Trump's diplomacy fizzles. Let me give you that title again. U.S. braces for major North Korean weapons test as Trump's diplomacy fizzles. Here's that article. American military and intelligence officials tracking North Korea's actions by the hour say they are bracing for an imminent test of an intercontinental ballistic missile capable of reaching American shores, but appear resigned to the fact that President Trump has no good option to stop it. If the North goes ahead with the test in the coming days, Pyongyang promised a Christmas gift if no progress has been made on lifting sanctions. It would be a glaring setback for Mr. Trump's boldest foreign policy initiative, even as he faces an impeachment trial at home. American officials are playing down the missile threat, though similar tests 2 years ago prompted Mr. Trump to suggest that fire and fury, and perhaps a war, could result. Mr. Trump often cites the suspension of long-range missile and underground nuclear tests for the past 2 years as evidence that his leader-to-leader diplomacy with the North is working, and that such negotiating skills would persuade the North's leader, Kim Jong-un, to give up his arsenal. The administration's argument has now changed. Should Mr. Kim resume tests, American officials say, it will be a sign that the truly harsh approach that they are taking will demonstrate their feeling jammed, and it will conclude that Washington will not lift crushing sanctions on his impoverished nation anytime soon. Left unaddressed, however, is the challenge that a new missile test would represent and what that would mean for the sanctions strategy. Over the past week, Stephen Bynum, the North Korean envoy, who was confirmed by the Senate on Thursday as the next Deputy Secretary of State, has traveled across East Asia to also try to stem new efforts by Russia and China to weaken their sanctions. Military officials say there are no plans to try to destroy a missile on the launch pad or intercept it in the atmosphere, steps both President George W. Bush and Barack Obama considered and rejected. It is unclear if the military cyber command is still trying to sabotage the launches from afar, as it did under the Obama administration with mixed results. Instead, officials say if the North resumes its missile tests, the Trump administration will turn to its allies and again lobby the United Nations Security Council for tightening sanctions, a strategy that has been tried for two decades. Beneath the recent threats is the onslaught of a cold reality. In the 18 months after Mr. Trump and Mr. Kim first met in Singapore, with declarations of warmth not seen since the suspension of the Korean War in 1953, the North has bolstered its arsenal of missiles and its stockpile of bomb-ready nuclear materials. New estimates from a leading authority suggest that Mr. Kim has expanded his arsenal substantially since Mr. Trump announced on Twitter after Singapore that there is no longer a nuclear threat from North Korea. Siegfried Hecker, the former head of the Los Alamos National Laboratory and one of the few Westerners who has seen the North uranium production facility, says he believes the country has fuel for about 38 warheads, double an earlier estimate that he and other scientists and intelligence analysis had issued. In recent weeks, the North has conducted ground tests of what appear to be new missile engines that Pyongyang said would bolster its nuclear deterrent. I think of this being a bluff on their part, says John R. Bolton, the former national security advisor. They think the president's desperate for a deal, and if they put an artificial time constraint on it, they may think they're going to get a better deal. We'll just have to wait and see. But, he noted, this is all part of the North Korean playbook. A new element of the playbook could be that Mr. Kim is calculating that impeachment has weakened Mr. Trump and making him more desperate for a policy that would give him victory. Senior foreign policy officials and military commanders are bracing for perhaps the most serious cycle of crisis yet. So you see what is happening here, even though there has been a time when it seemed as if the United States of America, the president, and Kim Jong-un were coming together and were willing to talk. It seems as if things are falling apart again. And Kim Jong-un is very serious about developing his military equipment, moving in the direction that he believes he must go in order to survive. What the United States of America will do, we will have to wait and see. But the possibility of a confrontation is always there, and we must, of course, make sure that we understand the threat that has been foretold in the Word of God. Matthew 24, for instance, war, rumors of wars. But we were told that this is just the beginning of sorrows. We are also told in other parts of the Scriptures where God has promised to allow the angels to hold the four winds so that all of this conflict will not break loose until his children are sealed in their foreheads. You and I must trust in God and place ourselves in his care, knowing that he will fulfill everything that he has promised. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us an opportunity to look at what is happening around us again. We're thankful that you have promised to protect. And we're thankful that you will give us all that we need so that we will stand with you and for you through all of the difficulties to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your Daily Briefing, December the 28th, 2019.